Another episode of One Large Popcorn and Two Slurpees, Please. This would be episode 2, in which we're going to be talking about Dunkirk. I am host John, and this is
Danny.
And so we're going to go right into it. What do you think about Dunkirk?
Overall, I was a little bit disappointed in Dunkirk just because I came in with such high expectations. Episode 1, we talked about Christopher Nolan's top 5 movies. We ranked them because we're both big Christopher Nolan fans. He's probably one of my favorite directors right now. I think he has made consistently really good movies. So I came in with really high expectations, and that is probably why I was a little bit disappointed, just because it didn't have as much of a story or character development as much as I would like to have seen. I didn't really feel a connection towards the characters. I understand, like, he was kind of going for more of a, you know, this is war, and to a lot of the people, you know, these aren't individuals. These are just numbers. And I think I got that feel from it. If that was his goal, I mean, that came off that way, where you were kind of dropped in the middle of a war and there's just chaos going on. But overall, I was a little bit disappointed. What did you think, John?
So what would you give it as a rating?
As a rating, I'd probably give it a 7 out of 10.
So for me, I ranked it a little bit higher. I ranked it as a 9 out of 10. I agree with you completely about the characterization. It didn't really develop any of the characters very much. But for me, I'm a World War II buff, so I love, hearing stories about World War II, especially, the ones where it's just a bunch of ordinary people rising above the occasion to do amazing and heroic things. And I think the story of Dunkirk is one that exemplifies that in a lot of ways, and Christopher Nolan really understood it and brought it forth in a way that a lot of people could appreciate. So if the point was to get across that, you know, show a lot of the horrors of war and, you know, the desperation that was involved in Dunkirk in terms of what the people were facing, I think the film was very successful in doing that. I think if the film was also to portray the British people as a whole, like how they were and what kind of put forward in order to you know, the heroism that was involved, they had to put up to win the war. You know, I think it exemplified that as well. So, I don't know. Overall, I really enjoyed the movie, especially the parts dealing with the RAF. I'm a big aviation buff, and having trained for my private pilot's license as well, like, hearing stories about the World War II RAF are particularly interesting, just because it's you have Spitfires and Hurricanes going up against much more advanced Messerschmitts and bombers of the German Luftwaffe, which was the German Air Force. And, you know, just those stories of the British Air Force with very limited resources going up against the huge German Air Force, you know, in order for them to, you know, succeed, a lot of sacrifices and heroic decisions needed to be made. And I think this movie, especially when they showed the three perspectives, the air perspective portrayed that extremely well.
Yeah, so there was the air perspective, there was the land, and there was by sea.
Right.
So those were the three.
So which ones did you enjoy the most?
Of those three, I enjoyed by sea the most, because I think there was the most character development in that one, and it had probably one of the top actors right now, Mark Rylance. He was the star of that perspective, and I think that, like you said, the fact that there was civilians, everyday ordinary people going in and doing heroic things, I think that exemplified it more than any other perspective, because these were just ordinary civilians going in trying to save people.
And there's one scene that was like really beautiful for me, like in the movie, which was like the movie takes place with three different perspectives, but along three different timelines. So when it all comes together near the end, for the sea perspective, especially for me, when you see the civilian ships come in and, you know, up until that point, there's just complete desperation. There's like everything that the people on land were doing just is going to shit no matter what. And for finally, civilians come through in civilian ships. Like it was, and the music that came in at that point, it was really a beautiful moment, I think.
Yeah, so the music was a big part of the movie, a huge part of the movie from start to finish. I don't know, like the trailer, there's the clock ticking. I thought that was only going to be in the trailer, but that is also in the movie, and it really, I think Hans Zimmer, he does most of Christopher Nolan's movies, he's done the music for, and in this one, he's like almost the starring character, his music, because it plays throughout the movie, and it's really anxiety-inducing, it's really intense, and yeah. It really causes you to get more suspense and more fear when you're watching the movie, just the music.
I completely agree. Throughout the entire movie, he basically has you on the verge of a heart attack with this movie.
Yeah, so when I was watching the movie, I was like really ill. Yeah. I still kind of am, so sorry if you're...
Yep, I'm going to get sick out of this.
...for the next few weeks. So I was already like on the verge of a heart attack, and then we watched it in IMAX, and it was probably the loudest movie I've ever seen in the theater. From start to finish, just loud ass explosions. And so I pretty much felt like I was gonna explode like one of the characters because.
But I think that, in contrast to that one part where the ships are, you know, on the horizon, where the civilian ships are seen on the horizon, where the music suddenly changes to one of like, you know, it just, that contrast is just makes that moment even more beautiful for me.
So did you know who Harry Styles was going into the movie?
I did not know who Harry Styles was. I just knew that after following Dunkirk on their movie Instagram, I got a lot of Harry Styles, you know, Instagram posts coming up for me as possible interesting things that I might like.
So after the movie, you recognized what character that was?
Is one of the guys eating jam on the ship.
Yeah, so that was probably one of the best parts of the movie, was just them eating jam and tea, because it looked really good, especially because I was sick and I needed some sustenance. I think a lot of what contributes to my 7, I know this is unfair to the genius Christopher Nolan, but was the movie going experience. The fact that my health was at 18% out of an iPhone 100%. The fact that there was a guy, old man, sitting next to me who was talking all about like war. I don't know if this guy was in a war or he just was obsessed with war, but he was talking to himself a lot about what was going on. Like, we're going to get into spoilers on this. So there's a scene in the movie where I also had issues with. So there's Mark Rylance. He's going by boat. He's a civilian. He's got a son with him. And I guess it was the son's friend, George, I believe.
Yeah.
He came on. And that on the boat, and the
hero at sea.
Yeah, hero at sea, and it's like, George, you know where we're going? He's like, yeah, to France. He's like, to war, George, to war. Yeah. And this kid, of course, once he goes on when he wasn't supposed to, he knew something likely bad was gonna happen to him.
Yeah.
And out of all this crazy shit that was going on, bullets flying by someone's face, things exploding. This kid died because he bumped his head. He fell down and bumped his head and then instantly was like blind. And then the next scene, all of a sudden he died. So
I don't know. Yeah, he probably had a cranial hemorrhage.
Okay, so yeah, as the doctor, you can bring that in. But compared to everything that was going on, like you wouldn't think that this would be the kid that was going to die, right? So I had some issues with that just because transposed with all the... heavy artillery going on, all the heavy bombing and planes, and one of the kids, there's few deaths that you really see. You see no blood, which was interesting. You don't really see the enemy that much, but poor George,
he didn't last the war. So that part,
That was a gripe.
That was a downer for me. That was a gripe. Yeah.
I think the only gripe for me was probably just because I'd seen a BFG not too long before watching this movie. Every time I hear Mark Rylance's voice, even though I think he's a phenomenal actor, I would think in the back of my head, Snozcumbers, and that is really takes away from the fact that this is like an intense war film. But
right?
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, just the fact that occasionally it'd be like, Snozcumbers in the back of my head.
The kid dies, right? And then the survivor that they picked up in the beginning.
Yeah.
He asks, you know, did something happen? Is the kid going to be okay? Because the kid is like...
Cillian Murphy, the guy that plays Scarecrow, right?
Yeah, he's got a great... Not the other guy, but
right.
He's in war uniform. But next to me... saying that punch him in the face. So that kind of ruined that part for me, which I think was a sweet
you know what the soldiers were going through,
right? Because earlier the kid didn't really understand it. He was in complete shock and he was
you kind of understand later on what that guy went through, because it's three different perspectives this man has seen until everything converges near the end.
Yeah, so anyways, he tells him that George is
I
enjoyed that part.
Yeah, I did too. Whole aviation part,
Harry Styles wise, I thought he did a good job. I mean, I don't know much about his history, but he kind of stood out a little bit just because like he's a better looking guy than everyone else in the movie.
I still don't know who he is.
Okay, but he was the kind of the asshole kind of guy that was like saying that this guy's a German spy because he wasn't talking.
Oh, is that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, what a dick.
Yeah, but I thought he did good. Like.
Yeah,
he's for our first major motion picture.
I mean, I didn't know who this Justin Bieber fellow.
Yeah, so he's
guy
his
was,
One Direction.
Okay.
And
yeah, I mean, none of the guys stood out as possibly a boy band person. So I mean,
yeah.
If that tells you anything, he did good.
Kind of had a chiseled jaw though, no? A little bit, but
overall,
I think he was good. Tom Hardy was in a mask again.
Yeah.
Which I enjoy that theme.
Very expressive eyes, though.
Yeah, very expressive eyes. I wanted to hear more Bane voice, though, but it wasn't...
Yeah.
That was one of the big gripes that I had with the movie, along with being violently ill, sitting next to someone that was really loud, was that not just not much talking, but when they did talk, I didn't hear anything that they said. Like, I didn't understand what they were saying. I think this movie could definitely benefit from subtitles because it was extremely loud, but all the explosions. But then when there's a little accent and when the actors would speak, I don't know, for me, maybe I'm just dumb, but I didn't understand what they were saying.
I understood everything they were saying.
Oh, I am dumb then.
And I'm not saying you're dumb, but I'm just saying I understood everything that they were saying. And even though there's a French lady talking like, a crazy person behind me.
You had crazy people around you too.
Yeah, I still was really into the movie though. Maybe because I wasn't sick and had a lot of other things going on around me. But honestly, like especially when they just kind of showed the air perspective, you know, I was able to shut out all the other ambient crazy talk around me.
Yeah, so John got a boner for the air scenes because he thinks he's Top Gun, but...
I am Top Gun.
But, so, out of all three perspectives, was that your favorite one? The air? Tom Hardy?
Easily, probably my first. C is probably second, just because of that one scene near the end where the ships are on the horizon and the music changes. I thought that was, like, especially beautiful moment, and it was... kind of like a huge payoff in the film for the viewer.
So yesterday we went through, I mean not yesterday, but our first episode, we went through the top five Christopher Nolan movies in our opinion. We ranked each for each of us.
Yep.
Where would you put the Dunkirk? Would you put it in his top five? Is it slightly under? What do you think?
I would probably put it in my top five.
Mm. So what are you bumping then? What you had?
Let me see.
See, it's tough. It's not easy.
No.
These are...
I wanted to put it in my top five, but I'm just not sure which one I'm bumping. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, that's what you got to do if you can put it in your top five.
Yeah.
You got to make tough choices.
Honestly, I'd probably put it at...
think you had Interstellar close to the bottom. You had Prestige. Did you have Prestige 5?
Yeah, I think so.
Don't put it on over Prestige.
That's the thing. It's hard for me to do that. Honestly, Memento is higher up on my list. It's like 3. But I would probably put... I don't know, maybe I take that Memento to like put it
oh,
on
wow.
It.
Oh, wow. So that means Memento is probably more of a 5 than 3. Are you really closely analyzing it?
I don't know.
But it's a tough one to compare to the rest of his movies because it's so much different
than
his other
movies. Yeah, it is different. It's completely different. It's, you know, it's not one of those movies that leaves you like thinking like, wow, that just changed my whole viewpoint on an entire different topic that I've never thought about before.
Yeah, so there's no science fiction in this. There's no surprise ending where you're not sure what exactly happened.
Right.
Or
no crazy twists.
No crazy twists. But it's a movie that... So it's hard to compare it to the other ones, but it's a movie that the cinematography is one of the best I've ever seen. It's to me, it was more like an artistic piece where you're just trying to... You're getting you to understand more of the struggles of war, the fight for survival. I related to those guys that were doing whatever they could to survive more than anything else. Mm-hmm. Because you can't help but put yourself in their position when that was going on and think about what you would do.
Yeah.
So it does definitely, the movie scares the shit out of you.
Yeah. I think, you know, in terms of portraying the desperation in the very beginning, like what they were facing against, because they really had nowhere else to go. I think the film portrays that brutality and that desperation beautifully. Like, you really feel like on the edge of your seat in the very beginning.
And yeah, it's from start to finish. So when the opening scene, I thought that was one of the coolest parts of the movie. Opening scene, they're going through a town that is totally, there's no one there anymore. And falling from the sky, there's flyers saying that you guys are surrounded, you're dead.
Yeah. You're effed.
You're effed, and all of a sudden they start getting shot at.
Yeah, you're dropped in immediately. You're in the war.
Yeah, and the way that's filmed, you really feel like you're one of the people running away from bullets.
Yeah.
With the music. So I'm not saying that this is a bad movie or anything. I would go see it, like, in, if I had it all over again, I would again go see it in IMAX and go see the movie in the theater. I think it's one of those movies that you definitely need to watch in theater. I don't think you're going to have the same enjoyment if you're watching it on your iPad or you're watching it on behind one of the headrests on the movie theater, in the airplane. So if you're definitely going to need to see this movie in the theater to really appreciate it to the fullest.
It's quite beautiful if you see it in IMAX.
It's glorious.
So I agree. It had a lot going for it. And... You know, I think I would watch it again, for me.
Yeah, for me, I don't think I would watch it again. I'm probably going to wait till DVD, or not DVD anymore, but streaming, I guess, Netflix. World is changing, John. The world is a-changing. Just so I can maybe throw on some subtitles, that I can really more understand them. Because, again, I'm not as quick as John Chan over here, so I'm going to need some subtitles to understand what these people were saying. So I would see it again just for that. And to try to figure out what the F was going
on. Yeah. But for me, I'd say it's a definite recommend. Especially if you know a little bit about the war and what was going on at that time. You appreciate a lot more. And, you know, I think in terms of getting across what Dunkirk was and what happened during that event, I think it does a really good job of doing that. I mean, at the end, they have a part where they're just reading off the newspaper and... they said it beautifully in the way they described it, because even though it seemed like a victory, it wasn't a victory at all. It was them retreating, but you know, it was a very successful retreat, and they were able to get a lot of people, save a lot of people in that effort.
So what do you think of George getting in the newspaper? His one goal in life. I don't feel like that was really earned. It was fake news.
Yeah, but we needed something happy at the end, right? So,
is that happy the kid's in the newspaper for dying and for bumping his head and dying?
Yeah, well, you know what? This other soldier didn't know that he killed the kid, and that kid got the one like, I mean, he only had a little bit of dialogue, and one of the things was, I want to do something interesting. And so he was remembered for doing something interesting.
Yeah, dying.
Yeah, he is a hero at sea.
Even though he actually did zero things that were heroic. I guess you could say he showed courage. Yeah. I would say it's stupidity, but
yeah,
I guess you can interpret it as courage.
His one dialogue was, I wanted to be here because I wanted to do something interesting with my life. And, well, you know, he did that one thing, I guess.
Nah, that wasn't interesting.
I mean, that was the point of it, I think. Yeah, I mean, the point that he had that one dialogue, and then the fact that he died and had a piece of paper. It's like,
yeah. That was probably the interpretation.
I've got recognized for something.
Yeah, I think Christopher Nolan's interpretation was more like, war doesn't show any, it's chaos, it doesn't favor and good over bad, and any time, any, you know, someone can survive in a huge explosion or someone can bump their head and die. It's just random, like you know, who survives and who doesn't, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I'd say watch it. And if you have any background in it, it's even better. And I think that wraps up episode 2. We'll be back again for another episode. I don't know when, but soon. And we don't even know what we're going to be talking about yet, but it should be interesting. So stay tuned. Subscribe. Check out our YouTube channel, because we also have a video version of this with a little bit less information, but it's interesting as well.
Get to see what John Chen looks like in person.
Yeah, so I don't know if you should watch that or not. But so video version, check that out. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to our podcast. We really appreciate you for joining us. And we'll be back soon. Thank you.